Well, I hope you brought your Bibles tonight, because we're going to be looking at some scripture. And I really would encourage you to bring something to write with and something to write on. Amen. Again, I pray, and this is always my prayer, as we start a new Bible study, and in fact all the way through our new Bible studies, or any Bible study for that matter, that we would retain something of what it is that's being that is trying to be taught. And I realize I'm not the greatest teacher or instructor, but I believe if we can just get God's Word in your ears, God's Holy Spirit can do miraculous things with it. Amen. So I want to start this new study on worship, and there's been a lot of discussion about why we worship and even about the dynamic of worship. Now, I'm not bashing anybody's style of worship. But I do want to just declare that there are some different styles of worship. There are different worship services that are out there. There are some worship services that are extremely regimented. We're going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and by 25 minutes after 10, the worship needs to be over. We need to be moving into the next phase, whether it's the offering or whatever it might be. And everything is very, very regimented. And, and that's fine for those churches if that's what they want. I never have felt to be that regimented. Amen. I mean, we have an order of service for sure, but we also certainly want to give the Holy Spirit any opportunity that He needs or wants to do whatever He wants. And in the middle of worship, if I feel led to just get up and give an altar call, which I've done on multiple occasions, in fact. And if people want to get up like they did last Sunday and just come to the altar, that is completely fine. That is completely within the order of the service. Amen? And to sing three songs, I've had people ask, well, why do you sing the same song over and over and over? Well, if the Holy Spirit is moving and moving in that song or moving through that song, and people are really worshiping with that song, and people are lost in worship because of a song, why would we want to just immediately? Well, we've sang it our one time through, and we sang the chorus twice, and so now we got to move on. That just to me interrupts the flow of the Holy Spirit and worship and what He wants to do. And I'd a lot rather please the Holy Spirit, frankly, than I would people. Amen? Listen, the Holy Spirit, I've seen Him do so many things during worship if we would just not be in a hurry to get through worship. And I talked a little bit about it last Wednesday, that worship can sometimes just be another step to get to the preaching. And if you remember right last week, even I talked about the offering can just be another thing that we have to get out of the way so that we can get to the preaching of the Word, so that we can get to the altar call and the last amen and head out the door. And church, if we're going to experience revival, if we're going to experience the true revival like I want for this city to experience, it's going to be developed through prayer and worship. I just believe that with all my heart. And so just understand that as we move into this Bible study and as we come together on Sunday to worship the Lord, our worship styles, when Tammy's leading worship, her worship style is completely different than what John's is. When Bob's leading worship, his worship style of leading is completely different than John's or Tammy's. And so, worship is not something that can be set in stone. If that makes any sense. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit liberty to move in the hearts of people. Amen. And so I just wanted to lay that out there. You know, there are some, there are, in fact, when Bill and Tabitha and Tammy and myself went to Phoenix in February, their worship was very, very lively, very, I mean, it was loud. Hello. It was loud. Amen. I mean, it was loud. Bill is a safety guy. And so Bill's got apps on his phone and he whips his phone out and he does that and he's holding his phone like this. And the sound decibels were off the chart. Loud. You could feel it. Glory. Whatever. It's true. When I'm listening to gospel music, I think everyone should hear it. Amen. Glory. But you know, they had loud music and they had, you know, like electric shows going on behind the lights and flashing and all that kind of stuff. And they're reaching a vast multitude of people. I am not sure that style of worship would go well in our church. You know, I'm not. But the reality is those people were moved by it. When we were there, they went from that high level of energy into a deeper place of worship and it was a little more subdued and those kinds of things. And the worship was powerful. So we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Different people are going to have different styles of worship. You go to some, you know, let's say a conservative Baptist church, and I'm, you know, they teach the gospel, they teach the Bible and all that, but you know, a lot of times they get up, they have a hymnal, three songs, and a chorus, and you're done. Right? I mean, and if that works for them, that's fine, but we're a Pentecostal church and I want to be moved by the Holy Spirit, not an itinerary or an agenda. Amen. I want to be moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And so tonight I want to bring some biblical understanding of what praise and worship is and why it is that they are important, an important part of our service. And in preparing for this, Glenda made the little sign, the poster over there that talks about it. And it says, worship. And it says, I don't know exactly what it says right now. Somebody run up there and read that thing for me right quick. I know what the last part of it is that it's more than just singing. Above the cross. Yeah, on the left-hand side of above the crossbar. The true meaning of worship, more than just singing. And I really want for that to resonate with you. What is the true meaning of worship? Because it is certainly, in my opinion, and I believe biblically, it is much more than just singing. Amen? Nehemiah said, actually, in chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was standing above the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Would you please stand with me as we read the Word of God? Now, you don't have to. I already read it. However, you are very obedient, very prompt, and I appreciate it. I'm going to read some more in a little bit. But I wanted, you've heard me say that so many times because obviously you heard me say it and you just jumped up. But this is the reason why, because people say, why do we have to stand up when we read God's Word? It's an honor thing. Frankly, and as I look around, I'm all right. It's why we don't wear our hat in the church as men. I wear my hat into the church. First thing I do when I get in here is take it off. Ladies, I'm glad you have a hat on. Billy, I'm glad you have a hat on because it does not apply to women. It does not apply to women. But it's a thing of respect. When I was growing up, when my dad was raising me, you couldn't wear a hat. We didn't go to church for one thing, but you sure wasn't going to wear your hat in the house. And if a woman come around, sunshine, you better be taking your hat off, or my dad would remove it for you, and he'd start about right here. It was an etiquette kind of thing. It was, I understand that it's cultural and I understand that it's old fashioned, but it is also a respect. And for me, I don't think respect goes out of style. Respect should not be mandated by the culture. Well, we're a woke generation. I ain't woke. I woke up this morning, but that's as woke as I get. Did I just cross the line right there? It's a show of respect and honor to the Lord. Ezra, it says Ezra was standing above the people. That's why we have a raised platform. It's why the platform area is elevated. He was standing above the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. They stood. Now listen. The book of the law of Moses was probably, they're probably talking about the Pentateuch, which was the first five books of the Bible. The people rose to their feet in respect and in anticipation. Respect and anticipation. They listened attentively to Ezra as he read God's word and their lives were changed. Folks, my whole reason for pastoring this church is because I want to see people's lives changed. Ron, I want you to be changed tonight when you and your wife walk out that door. I don't know how we end up coming into the presence of the Lord and not allowing His presence to affect our lives. Listen, if anybody in this house needs to be affected by the Lord, it's me. It is me. I could tell you, I could go on and share with you the way that I was brought up, some of my upbringing, the things that went on in my life, the things that I feel like I've somehow inherited from my mom and from my dad that plague me today, and the things that I can't seem to get over in some areas of my life. I know the only way any of it's going to be changed is because of worship and the word and prayer and just basking in the glory of Almighty God. That's the only way, folks, any one of us are going to have any kind of hope at all. They listened attentively. There are people, when I say, please stand up while we read the word, they just sit there and look at you like a milk bucket under a bull. Just frankly, that's like something of and I don't mean to be ugly, but it's like defiance. I ain't standing up. It ain't because I asked you to. It's an attitude of respect. They listened attentively and their lives were changed. Maybe our lives aren't being changed because we, number one, don't listen attentively. Hence why I said bring a notebook and a pencil or a pen to write notes on, because if you're not able to take notes, it's because you ain't paying attention. Amen. I was writing that down. Is that what you're doing, writing that down? See, the whole time, and I'm going to tell on myself again because I'm the only one that I can't get in trouble for talking about. But when I was in school, the teacher would say, all right, we're going to watch this movie and I want you to take notes because when we're done, we're going to have a quiz. I never took any notes. My excuse was because I'm not a note taker and I just don't know how to take notes. The problem with that is I take notes all the time now. You know why? Because my motive and my attitude has changed. I want to get something out of whatever it is I'm watching, especially when I'm in study mode or reading or those kinds of things. Now I'm paying attention. Now I want my life to be changed. And so when I want and when you want your life to be changed, you will pay attention to what's being said. And so because we hear the Bible so often, we can become dulled by its words and immune to the teachings. Hello. It's true. It's true. It's like listening to music. If you just listen to music, well, it's not really like listening to music. Because have you ever had a song stuck in your head? I've never had the Word of God stuck in my head. I mean, I have it stuck in my head because I put it in there. But I listen a lot to the Bible. I go to bed at night listening to the Scripture. A passage out of the Old Testament and I listen to some passage out of the New Testament and I go to sleep. I don't never know when they're done. I just know they're done the next morning. I don't ever remember them. I go to sleep and I know that it goes in you and blah, blah, blah. But I've never woke up going, man, that was a great reading. There's a difference, church, between listening to the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. Hello. You see the Christian Children's Funds and all those kinds of things, and they always come up with the most dramatic portrayals of how desperate the need is there. And when they first started putting those on back when I was 10, 11, 12 years old in black and white. Hello. If you got the rabbit ears adjusted just right on the TV. Some of you don't even know what rabbit ears are. You think it's a little fuzzy. No. It's an antenna on your TV. Tinfoil on the top of that, because that ain't quite enough. And you'd watch those and it would break your heart. You'd be like, oh man, I gotta sell something to send them folks some money. I mean, it broke our heart. But after year after year after year of seeing that, you know, the Jerry Lewis telethon, you know, doesn't even faze us anymore. Doesn't even faze us. Why? Because we become numb to it. We become immune to it. It doesn't even, I mean, we can watch those commercials, get up and go make a bag of popcorn or get some pizza or whatever and come back and sit and watch the whole, it's because we've become numb. We've become dull. We become immune to its teaching. But in reality, we should listen carefully to every verse and ask the Holy Spirit to help us answer this question. How does this apply to my life? That's why when I pray, I say, God, would you please give me your anointing to teach your word? And Lord, anoint your people to receive. I think you, every one of you, ought to be praying along with me and say, oh God, yes, please anoint the teacher or the pastor to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And I'm talking about while I'm praying for you, Lord, help me to receive what pastor is putting out there tonight. Help us to receive that through your Holy Spirit, because when it comes out of my mouth, you know, the Holy Spirit sends it into you, He's going to tweak that to where it fits in your life. Amen? So it's more than just coming and hearing the pastor talk about praise and worship. God, help me personally, every one of us in this room, every one of you watching tonight by way of the internet, you ought to be saying, God, help me to receive from your Holy Spirit, from your word tonight as pastor teaches. Listen carefully. Ask the question, how does this apply to my life? Amen? See, when Ezra lifted up the scroll and unrolled it to the passage where he was going to read, the people who were seated in the square honored the Word of God by standing. Now listen, it's going to get way worse before it gets better for us tonight, okay? I'm just putting that out there. They knew they would not be hearing a mere man speak his own ideas. And the reality is they would be hearing the very Word of God. Listen to what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason, I also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Did you catch that? It's more than just reading. It's because you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, and you welcomed it, not because I'm saying it, but because it's God's Word, and God's Word is sharper and more powerful than a two-edged sword. You welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as in truth, and the Word of God, and it effectively works in you and I when we believe that it is God's Word, when we believe that it has the power to transform your life. I believe that God's Word has the power to transform my life. If I didn't have the belief that the Word of God would change my life, I'd be at the house right now. I wouldn't even be wasting y'all's time. Because what's the point? If we don't believe that God's Word does what God's Word says it will do, what God said He would do through His Word, He said, my Word will not return unto me void. But it will accomplish what it's been set out to do. Now, it's going to be different in RJ's life than it is maybe in Charles's life. It's the same word, but it's going to hit you different. It's going to apply different. Why? Because we're in different places in our life. Amen? The people remained standing while the law was read and explained. Now listen, Ezra, this is where it starts going downhill for us right here. See, when Ezra started reading and teaching in early in the morning, and he continued through midday, according to verse 3, which means the congregation stood and listened for 5 or 6 hours, and it continued for a week. Hello. For a week. I mean, probably the reality is from time to time, he probably gave the people an opportunity to rest, but the people were there for the express purpose as to hear God speak, and they were willing to stand there and listen for that moment when something of God's Word would resonate inside of them. Bam! Where's Ron? I want it to be just like it was for you when that defibrillator or refibrillator or whatever it is in your chest, I want God's Word to hit me like that. Bam! Because I guarantee you, right, Steve? When it hits you, You got one too? Oh, sweet. Anybody else? Listen, I don't want God's Word to just bounce off of me. Not this morning, but Sunday morning, I came in here early and was praying, and Fred came in, and we were praying together. And you know, what I prayed was this. I prayed, God, I pray you so saturate every seat in this place with your Holy Spirit and with your anointing that when people sit on these chairs, that it just oozes out of the chair and just like a soggy, wet. You ever pick up a sponge and it's just like, it just is like. That's exactly what I wanted these chairs to be like. When you sat down on, you ever had your short, your undershorts wet? You knew I was going to go there, didn't you? Tim's like, I knew it. That is so uncomfortable to have your undershorts wet. To me, anyway. Hello? Am I the only one? Glory to God. I wanted you to sense that. I wanted it to be that real in your life that the Holy Spirit is in this place. And man, I just want people to just be saturated with God's Word and with God's presence. After he opened up the Word, after Ezra opened up the Word, according to verse 6, it says, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. The great God. Wow. Is he great? Is he great? Is he the great God Almighty? See, the people affirmed his words by saying amen and amen, which means so be it. And see, it was a united congregation that honored the scriptures and was in fact willing to devote half of their day to hearing it read and taught. Half a day, 6 hours, 5 hours standing, just listening to the Word of God. Folks get nervous when I preach for an hour and 15 minutes. People start getting nervous. And you're sitting down. I went to Nigeria, preached in Nigeria. Them people get upset with you if you only preach for 30, 45 minutes. Listen, man, they don't want some little devotional. They want a full-on get her done. We could learn a little something for that. You ever see a lot of miracles happening over in Africa and foreign countries and stuff like that? A lot of miracles. You know why? Because their level of expectation is different than ours. Their reason and motive for going to church is different than ours is, frankly. I can say this, though, of this congregation, at least in my opinion, we are, like they were, a united congregation. We are a united congregation. We are here. You are here tonight because you want to learn about worship and about what it means to worship God. What does it mean to praise God? And so listen, they didn't worship a book. They did not worship a book. They worshiped the Lord God who spoke to them through the book. How many of you have ever heard that the Bible is the living Word of God? How does that apply to your life? Exactly. What did you say? The Word doesn't change at all. It's the same Word. What she said was that it changes all the time. And that's exactly right. And it is exactly right what you said. I can read the most, it's just so beautiful. This is wonderful. Did you read, Bob read, this is so wonderful. Bob reads it and the Holy Spirit's going. And Bob's like, I didn't get that. Right? How many times some people send you something on the internet? Oh, read this scripture. You read the scripture and you're like, what did I do to them? You know? You know what I'm saying? It's because it's the living Word of God. And just because it's so sweet and nice to me, when Judy reads it, Judy might get an entirely different take from the Holy Spirit because it's the living Word of God, and it affects your life and my life different. And I can read the same passage, and it was so nice today, and tomorrow... Oh, God, don't let me be the only one. Amen. It's the living Word of God. It's not just some book that we read. Our churches today have a desperate need in our public services to show more respect for the Word of God. We're commanded... Oh, boy. When's the last time that you read 1 Timothy 4:13? Yeah, what did it say? Let me tell you what it says, just in case you want to know. We are commanded. Well. Commanded. It's not a suggestion, folks. We are commanded to give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And here's the indictment. Yet in many churches, the only Scripture publicly read is the text of the sermon. As I read that, as I began to contemplate that last week, and I reread and I reread and I reread that verse of Scripture, and I thought, number one, I thought, guilty as charged. And then I had this thought. How would our church be affected if every day we had a public reading in the church? Just asking.
We used to have one every morning. A Bible study every morning.
Yeah?
And the Word was read, and we used
daily bread
as a guide for us.
Yeah. What would your life look like? And of course you don't know, but I do have to put this out because I already asked the question, how does this affect my life? How does this apply in my life? How would your life be different maybe if we came together tomorrow morning at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever and just read God's Word? Not another opportunity to milk you for an offering. Not another opportunity to rightly divide the word of truth. None of that. Just simply a reading God's Word. Lord, apply this to our lives however you see fit. We're just going to read God's Word. Maybe some worship music playing in the background just for ambiance. And just begin reading God's Word. Bob's going to read tomorrow. He's going to read whatever God lays on his heart. The next day, RJ is going to read. And God's going to just lay whatever on his heart. And the next day, Tim. And the next day, you know, Glenda or Judy or whoever. We're just here. We're not here to show off. We're simply here because we want to be obedient to God's Word, which says give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Well, Pastor, gas prices being what they are, be a lot of extra driving. Well, what if God just extra blessed you? We don't know. We don't know. Just as a general definition, worship is the odd... Not ODD odd, by the way. Just want to clear that up. It is the odd response to the saving acts and praiseworthy character of God. Now let me just tell you something about last Sunday. When I was sitting over here on my little tractor seat, playing the bass, worshiping with my eyes closed, and I heard some commotion and I opened my eyes and the whole front of this church was full of people. That was an odd response in my life. I was like, wow. Wow. I'm in awe of what the Lord can do if we'll just... Listen, that won't happen when it's three hymns, a chorus, and you're done. Worship is the reverential response of creation to the all-encompassing magnificence of God. Let me read that again. Worship is the reverential response of creation to the all-encompassing magnificence of God. Listen, I can find myself in reverential awe that He ain't killed me yet. That He hasn't just said, listen, I am just done with you and just pull the plug on me. Because I feel like a lot of days, that's exactly what He ought to do. Because frankly, if I was in His position, that's what I'd do. It's obvious you ain't getting it. And so there's just... Hey, hello? Worship is the reverential response of creation to the all-encompassing magnificence of God. Oh, how He loves... We used to sing that song. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. That would be good to sing. Oh, how He loves me. I couldn't stop it. No. I didn't give them this one. Worship is the reverential response of creation to the all-encompassing magnificence of God. Just think for a second, folks, about the all-encompassing word. All-encompassing. Encompass means all the way around. Holy mackerel. So, I'm already out of time almost. I was just getting started. In the Old... I'll just start going fast. In the Old Testament, worship encompassed a variety of activities bringing forth... Sorry. I'm sorry. We got another 5 hours. We can, in fact, stand up the rest of the time. Listen. Bringing forward an offering to God was an act of worship. Yes, ma'am.
Standing for 6 hours
while they're doing the
word is an act of worship.
Without question. How many of us, I mean, I think about it when I was driving log truck, I used to think about it a lot. Those poor suckers standing out there in the road construction in a black hot pavement, you know, and they're standing out there for 8 or 10 hours holding a stinking sign, not moving, not being able to go anywhere. The only break that they get's to go potty or whatever, you know, and they're just standing out there. How hard is it to stand on your feet? I mean, I bought these new tennis shoes because I wanted something comfortable to wear when I was flying down to Phoenix. But you know what? And my intention was, I'm only going to wear them for good. Right? If I'm going to go to town, flashy blue sneakers. Right? How many of you remember PF Flyers? Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere. I've been working out in my garage trying to finish it out on the inside, and to wear a pair of boots on a concrete floor for 8 hours a day, it just destroys my back and my feet. So I'm wearing my new blue tennis runners in the garage and I feel a lot better. Not 100%, but way better than I was. To just stand and listen. That, I'm going to tell you, church, that would take some self-discipline. That would, and now things, phrases in the Bible like bringing a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. All of a sudden, now that's starting to make sense in this rock pile. Because to stand for 5 or 6 hours while the Word of God is being read, there's going to be some sacrifice in your life to stand there that long. Who knows? Maybe some of them had a two-hump camel they rode to town. I don't know. But just to bring forward an offering was an act of worship. Bowing down in the presence of God was an outward display of an inner attitude of reverence before our Almighty God, our Creator. I'm not going to bow down today. I'm just going to pray. Sitting in my recliner. You ever try that? Do you think maybe if the disciples would have been standing in the garden the whole time when Jesus said, pray that you don't enter into temptation. Do you think maybe if they'd have been standing in reverence to God and praying, just maybe they wouldn't have fell asleep? The verb text here could indicate that a person was lifting up or exalting God with praise by bowing down, by bringing an attitude, an inner attitude of reverence before our Creator. And so together the last two terms provide a rich image of worship. People bowing before God and lifting Him up in praise and wonder. What if we changed the way we worship in not necessarily in the music or the singing or any of that, but in the midst of it all, begin, because how many of you realize tonight that thanking God is also an act of worship? God, before Pastor even preaches today, God, I just want to thank You for the way Your Word is going to impact the people's lives. God, I just want to take a moment in the middle of this worship, Lord, to just thank You that there are lives that are going to be changed today, that Your Holy Spirit is going to convict somebody and they're going to give their life to You. They're going to surrender their life to an all-encompassing reverence of God and their lives are never going to be the same. Can I tell you, I just like I told you a few minutes ago that I'd have pulled the plug on me a long time ago, but you know why I don't quit trying? Why I don't quit striving to do what God wants me to do? Because His all-encompassing love for me never fails, never gives up. He never gets tired and says, I'm just done with you. His mercies are new every morning, and we take them for granted. Man, what if we rolled out of bed and took 15 minutes? I'm not talking about devotional time. I'm not talking about cranking on the stereo to K-Love or whatever. I'm not talking about any of that. But just spend 5, 10, 15 minutes and just say, God, I just want to thank You for a wonderful night. God, I don't know what You got in store for me today, but I just want to give You glory and honor right now before the day ever even starts. God, I just want to worship You in the early stillness of this morning. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just trying to provoke some thought in your life, in your mind, in your spirit. the verb halal, which is a form of the word worship, halal, it could be used to designate the act of celebrating God. I've said this a half a dozen times, but when the people in Nigeria, when I was down there for Brother Thomas's church, when they gave in the offering, when they took the offering, the ushers didn't take the offering. The people, they just had a big box right over here on this corner, and they had a big box right over here on this corner, and they just got up from everywhere, and man, they just worshiped the Lord, and they just, I mean, it took 20 minutes to take the offering, and we think worship is too long. They're just trying to thank God for what He has given them, and that's the only way that they can do it, is to just, they worship their way. They praise their way all the way to the front. It was an act of, they celebrated God. Church, do we celebrate what God does? We certainly we do when He puts $40,000 in the building fund. Well, oh, so wonderful. But what about what happened Sunday morning? Did we celebrate God for what He did here Sunday morning? Do we celebrate Him publicly? Do we walk out going, man, that was great. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's good. Or do we shout it from the rooftops, man? I honk almost every time I go by your house. You know why? Because I want people to know I know that guy. And I hope someday somebody says, why do you honk right here every time? Well, because I know Tim. Pal lives right there, him and Johnny and his wife. And they're great Christian folks. They go to our church and it's a great time. You ought to come try it out. Yeah. I've seen you cook. You're lucky I ain't over there more often. When he cooks chicken, folks, he cooks chicken. I mean, there's chicken everywhere. He got two or three smokers going. Woo, son. That can bring some celebration. Hello. The word hallelujah is derived from this word halal, and from the Hebrew phrase hallelujah. Yah is God. To hallow the name of God. Hallelujah is the same in every nation, in every language. Did you know that? Every language, it's the same word. Isn't that amazing? It's derived from hallelujah, that means praise Yahweh. This phrase can also involve singing. Hello. It could also involve singing. But it also involves serving. 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 Worship? Serving? Really? Really? Yeah. Remember what Jesus did? He didn't come to be served, but to serve. The ritual life of devotion was emblematic of an entire life, a whole life that was given over to God. Our life of devotion, I'm not talking about our little 5-minute daily bread. I'm not busting on daily bread at all, but you brought it up that's to read the daily bread. That, frankly, church, is not doing a devotion. Amen. All right, I'll just... It can certainly lead to it. And that's my prayer, is that it does. It's a catapult. Well, what? Because they always give a verse of Scripture with it, right?
They give actually the Old Testament and the New
Testament. Yeah, and so when you read them...
Another scripture.
Right. And so what does that mean in light of what the commentary is that they put? How does that affect my life? Because, and for somebody like yourself, and I understand that you probably do that. You probably read both of those. But a lot of times people just go, oh, there's the scripture and here's what it says. I've done my devotion. I'm gone. See, the ritual life of devotion is emblematic of an entire life, a whole life that is given over to God. When we devote our whole life over to God, it completely changes everything about us. It just changes us. Look at it this way, and I'm gonna close because I'm out of time. The English word worship is derived from an old English word, worth-ship. Worth-ship. In other words, worship constitutes those actions and attitudes that revere and honor the worthiness of the great God of heaven and earth. What can you come up with in your life of worth for God? What has God done that has brought worth and value into you? Listen, He saved my soul. I should have been, you know, I shouldn't be the pastor. I got too much mess in my life. But because of the mess in my life, God's taking that all-encompassing grace and mercy and moving it through me so that I can share with you the mess that's been in my life and inspire somebody else that's saying, I'm just like that. I don't know how come God hadn't killed me a long time ago too. And I can share with other people, listen, God can save anybody. When I did Larry's service on Sunday, or Saturday rather, excuse me, there were people that I went to school with here, haven't seen them in 40 years. Well, that's not true. I haven't seen them since 1990s, the early 90s. But that's still a spell. And they're like, yeah, I heard from a guy, one of our classmates, that you were a pastor now. Didn't see that coming. Nobody saw that coming. I've yet to find somebody. I knew it all along. I knew it. I've never had that. That person's never showed up. They're always like, are you kidding me? There was a man weeping in our parking lot when we were in the other church. And he was weeping because I baptized his son. And his son went out to see him and he was just broken. And his son, of course, thought, man, my baptism really touched my dad. He said, Dad, what's going on? He goes, I can't believe it. I went all through school with that guy. He said, if God can save that guy, He can save anybody. And it moved him to the point of, he was messed up. Can I just tell you, that's the God we worship. Oh, church. Don't come Sunday thinking that worship is about the song service. It's so much more than singing. It's a lifestyle. It's emblematic of a whole life given over to God. We were created to praise and glorify God. That's why He created us. It's why the devil got kicked out of heaven. He was in charge of that whole thing. And he got to thinking too highly of himself. Church, I want to encourage you to worship the Lord the rest of the week. I mean worship Him. RJ, you and I both know that you can worship the Lord running around RFP on a forklift. Mike Young and I were driving down the road in St. George, Utah one time. We got an urgent prayer request on my phone. Pastor, you need to pray right now. I'm driving 70 miles an hour down Interstate 15 in Utah, and I just shut my eyes and started praying. And Mike's going, I don't think we need to take it that far. Oh, yeah. Ha! God certainly could have drove the truck. I'm not... Yes, ma'am.
That's why I'm here today. Because I went down to the river and I didn't know what your service was going to be about. And I was just sitting there praying and worshiping. And God told me, hey, forget what you're doing tonight. I was supposed to be working right now. I canceled everything. I'm like, I'm coming. I'm in church. And this was like Him saying, yes, you needed this. Thank you.
Wow. Praise God. Listen, amen. If nobody else is here but her, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because all of a sudden, right now, tonight, I mean, not like you didn't already, but tonight, all of a sudden, there's a new level of God in your life, because all of a sudden, I realize what somebody's been telling me, the pastor's been telling me, that God will speak to us if we'll listen. I get text messages from Craig all the time, the guy that sat right back there, that you started the process and then you come and got me, and I ended up staying here for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours after church, and led that young man to the Lord. And I'll tell you this much, his life is changed. He does not doubt God, because the exact same thing happened to him on the river. Some guy in a boat going down the river said, you need to go to Harvest, you need to go to church in Myrtle Creek. And he's parked across the street over here. Some lady he doesn't even know walks up and says, you need to go to that church right there. He looks at the sign. The sign says, the perfect place for people who aren't. He says, well, maybe I can go in there. Comes around the church. He's met by my twin. And he stops. He checks himself at the door. He's like, man, I don't know. I don't think I can go in here. But thank God we've got somebody at the door. And you confronted him and got him to come in the church. I preached on risk and reward that morning. And he still is. In fact, he told me, Pastor, if you never do anything else, you have to preach that message again on risk and reward. He said, that message changed my life. Crazy. No, it's Craig. Yeah, it's Craig. Yes, sir. Yes.
So this week at work, I think it was Monday, one of the ladies I work with, she's really sick. She's done work anyway because she's out of sick leave. So she's working, she's wearing a mask. So we're in the lunchroom, and she went on to her next area she's working at, and I got my forklift, she'd probably be square, and so I just started back off to the hog, and this is where, we pray, because then when God tells us to do something, the Holy Spirit prompts us, we need to do it. And I'm sure there's millions of times I didn't. And so, on the way back, the Holy Spirit's like, you just need to go over there and just shut things down and just go over there and pray for it. And so I shut my lift off, and I wonder where she was at, and I said, look, I want to pray for you, right? I said, I don't care if I get in trouble, it don't matter to me. But I want to pray for you, God wants me to pray for you. So, we just prayed, and then I just went on about my business, and, But being obedient, I believe God showed me again, which has probably shown me a lot since I've been there, this is why you're here.
Right.
It's not just to go make a paycheck.
Right.
To interact with people and to reach them.
Yeah.
Reach them for his kingdom.
Yes. And we never know what that prayer will do in that person's life. Amen? I don't know. God could be laying it upon on Craig's heart right now to be some kind of wild, crazy preacher.
There you go.
He could. It could. It could. I mean, it happened to me. Happened to me. I mean, I'm not crazy, but...
Is he homeless?
No. 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 His son, he got reunited with his son through this whole process, who they'd been estranged for I don't know how long. And his son says, we need to come up with an internet profile for you. And he doesn't know anything about the internet, really, frankly, other than that it can be really bad or really good. So his son puts together a profile on the internet, I'm guessing on Facebook or whatever, puts it out there, and in a matter of minutes, a lady responds to that, says, "You're the guy I've been looking for." And I was thinking the same thing you're thinking right now. Not at all. It's a married lady. She has a 200 and some acre horse ranch in the Applegate Valley in southern Oregon. They are, apparently they're not worrying about where their next meal comes from. Let me just put it that way. And she got a hold of him. He went down there. Everything fell into place. He sends me pictures of rose gardens that he's building and waterfalls and all this kind of stuff. And he said, "Well, I gotta build a place, a lean-to over my trailer house so that, you know, over that," well, it ain't even a trailer house for crying out loud. It's a camp trailer. It's a utility trailer with a bed in it and a stove. And they said, "No, you're not doing that. You're gonna build your own little miniature house right here and we're gonna pay for it." I'm telling you, you want to talk about the blessings of God, and that guy's given all the blessings, all the glory to God. You're down at the river. God says, go to church. You come to church. Listen, it does not get any better than that. It doesn't. Folks, let me just encourage you. I know I'm way out of time. I mean, I've been, you know, an hour. But I want you to know, I want this to impact my life. I want this to impact your life. I want you to be able to come into church on Sunday and know that there's something different. Not because we're doing a great job leading worship, but you're doing a great job worshiping before you ever get here. Because that is what will change everything. Father, I thank you for this day. I like David tonight, God, search my heart, O God. See if there's anything in me, Lord, and I confess and admit right up front that there certainly is things in my life that would hinder, God, and I pray, Lord, remove it all. Not only out of my life, but out of every life in here. Lord, we are overcome by busyness. We just don't have enough hours in the day. But God, one thing we have is the ability to say no to some things. Give us the strength and the power, the Holy Ghost unction to say no to the busyness of life and say yes to spending some time in intimate worship with our Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it right now. God, I pray your absolute richest blessings, Lord, in this place for your people. I pray, God, that nothing would take the place of spending time with you. And God, visit your people. Prepare us, Lord, on Wednesday night prepare us on Thursday and Friday and Saturday for worship on Sunday. Father God, I praise You. I thank You. Lord, I lift up this precious family. A dad was killed today in a logging accident right here. Had a son and two little girls, and they are now orphans. They had no one else but their daddy, and he was taken out today. God, there is heartbreak and grief that the general population does not understand in this situation. And I pray, God, right now, that You would raise up a family to care for those kids, to raise them. I pray, God, not just for a family, but a Christian family, a God-fearing family, a family that knows how to worship God. Lord, and minister to them. God, and I thank You for it. Lord, we lift up Randy tonight. Father, we just ask You to touch her and heal her body. God, take away the pain. Take away anything, God, that is contributing to her inability and the sickness and the pain that she's enduring. Lord, and I just thank You for it. God, I pray for complete and total deliverance and healing from cancers, from diabetes, from COVID, from any of those kinds of things, Lord. Even this lady that RJ prayed for, God, we lift her to You tonight. Complete it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. God go with you. Have a good rest of your evening. Thanks for joining us tonight by way of the internet. We will see you on Sunday.